You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Kim Thomas.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Brandon Stone wins the BMW SA Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni.
It's too good to be true, really. I'm overcome with emotions at the moment. There's a lot of ups and downs in that final round, but to come on top at the end is... it's incredible.
And we'll speak exclusively to the young South African later in the show. We'll review all the action at the Glendale Golf Club and look ahead to this week's events, the Joburg Open and the Eurasia Cup presented by DRB HiCom. I'm Dan Roebuck and I'm pleased to say I'm joined by Kim Thomas. Kim, how are you?
Very well indeed, Dan. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Now we're looking back to the BMW SA Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni and Brandon Stone's amazing win, a young man certainly on the up.
He certainly is. He's been touted for a long time, a very, very good amateur player, and now he's made it as a winner on the European Tour. He won, of course, at the end of last season on the Sunshine Tour, didn't he?
It has been a fantastic few months for Brandon Stone. You mentioned the win on the Sunshine Tour, but he managed to get his European Tour playing privilege for 2016 after a great performance out in Oman.
Yes, it was a really sticky day for him. He finished 14th. In the rankings on the Challenge Tour at the Grand Final out in Oman. It was a really tough day for him, but he did it. A couple of 68s at the weekend. That was impressive when he needed to do it.
Tough week as well in South Africa. Storms delaying the first 3 days, of course, and it meant that we didn't know the 54-hole leader until midway through Sunday.
Yes, the last few groups had to play nearly a round and a half, which is also tiring in the heat and the... possibility of thunderstorms later on, although happily they didn't materialise. So a big day for him, an exhausting day, but a big win.
Stone, of course, took a two-shot 54-hole lead, but we didn't have a redraw. So therefore, Stone actually finished his round before the likes of Daniel Brooks could.
2-tee start as well, so it wasn't easy, but Brandon Stone came through like a true champ.
He did indeed. However, there were one or two stumbles along the way because he carded 6 bogeys in his round, all told.
He did. He had 2 lots of 3 bogeys in a row. But 7 birdies helps as well, doesn't it? Not many pars.
But as a young player looking for your first European Tour win, he did remarkably well to just keep his head when he was dropping shots, certainly over the course of the front nine and around the turn.
Yeah, local boy, of course, so knows the course pretty well. That obviously helped. But then there were local people all over the place, weren't they? Brandon, Grace included.
What was the turning point, do you think, for his win?
Coming back up the 12th after some bad experiences around the turn and then getting those birdies late on when it really mattered, he steeled himself and that produced the win.
Fine 2-putt on the par 3, 17th, of course, brought a fist-pumping celebration. There was relief all round, I think, for Brandon Stone. And then, of course, his playing partner, a young man that I think many won't know too much about, Christian Bezuidenhout, also was up in the vanguard. He failed, of course, on that particular hole, but a good performance from the youngster nonetheless.
Yes, and not many people know that he did win on this golf course on the Big Easy Tour, which is the Challenge Tour on the Sunshine Circuit, if you will, back in September at Glendower, so he knew the course very well.
Stone, of course, was very emotional on the final green. He was almost in tears, I think, wasn't he, when he was putting out on the 18th. At that stage, we saw the trophy on the fringe of the 18th green. It was as if that the win was done, but it wasn't because, of course, Brooks still had a few holes to play.
Yeah, the tears weren't for the win, I don't think, at that stage. They were for the effort that he'd put in, and he knew that he'd just about done enough because the last two holes are tough to birdie with Brooks behind.
And of course, his father and grandfather were watching.
Yes, they were. Emotional family day, all told. Kevin, his father, who's a Sunshine Tour player himself, and his grandfather also was a fine player in his time.
Well, I'm delighted to say that we are now joined by the winner of the BMW SA Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni, Brandon Stone. Brandon, congratulations. Well done with your playing over the weekend.
Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's nice to get the championship.
Very emotional on the final green as well, Brandon.
Yeah, I know. I think all the emotions came flooding out on that last green. It wasn't the easiest or most simple day out on the golf course, but it was definitely well worth it, and I felt like it was well deserved.
Brandon, you've had some adventures over the last few months. It's came here, by the way. Oman, you just squeaked in there with the 14th place. Well done there. And that wind in Cape Town must have been important for you.
No, it was. It's been an incredible last few months. I think, obviously, playing so well in Oman and just scraping through, like you said, to get my tour card, and then going the following week and playing in Cape Town and getting that first professional win, which seemed to up our confidence a little bit. Played nicely at Leopard Creek. And then, yeah, start 2016 off with my first win. It's quite special.
Obviously, Daniel Brooks still had three holes to play when you finish your final round. Were you nervous at that point? Did you watch his final few holes?
I didn't actually watch. Unfortunately, I was, I was staying with my family and doing a little bit of the press and signing some autographs for the kids that I came out to watch. So my mind was quite well distracted, which is quite good, because I think if I was watching the scoreboard, I might have had a stroke.
Brandon, when I played back in the 19th century, when my father watched me, it was a little difficult. I felt more pressure that way. You seemed more comfortable with your family close by. Is that so?
Yeah, definitely. I think having my family there with me was quite special. I think that, especially my grandfather, I mean, being 70 years old, it's always nice to share a moment like that. I didn't feel any added pressure from them, though. I think they've always been very supportive of me and very cool, calm and collected in those kind of situations. So it was a fantastic day. I felt like it was a day that I'll never forget, and it was extremely special.
Bit of a roller coaster, though, wasn't it? Because you had those clutch of bogeys around the turn and indeed on the front nine as well, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, seven birdies, six bogeys and five pars for a day is not your most consistent round of golf, but it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, not good for the heart rate, eh?
No, not good for the heart rate at all.
Tell us about your background, Brandon, because you had a very good amateur career and one or two South African pundits were suggesting you're going to be the next big thing. Just tell us something about your background.
Well, I think I had a pretty decent South African amateur career that got me a full scholarship to the University of Texas, which was incredible. Obviously, I felt like I had a pretty decent year at the university, and I felt like I was going to take my talents to the professional ranks. From there, I had a good start to it, but then a few years over there, it wasn't the standard that I believe I could uphold, and then really just got to the hard miles and put in a lot more work, a lot more effort, and nice to see it paying off now, eventually.
Brandon, you've gone from 249 into the world's top 120 and in the top 10 in the Race to Dubai. How does that feel?
It's incredible. I think if you told me at Christmas that I was going to be in the top 120 in the world, I would have laughed. But right now, it's like a dream come true, and I'm just going to hopefully I can keep building on it and keep rocking the leaderboard.
Does your schedule change now? Do you look at different events? Do you change things up, or do you just plan as you were always going to plan?
I think for the first part of the year, I'm going to do what I was supposed to do. Obviously, going to play this week in Johannesburg, and then Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Dubai, and the Swanee Open. And then I'll come back to South Africa and do the Dimension Data Prime at Fancourt, which is always a fantastic event. But after that 7-week stretch, I might be quite tired, and we'll have to reassess the schedule then.
You might be tired now, Brandon, but not a long drive to your next venue.
Not at all. I think I'm staying at home for all three events this year, which is quite special.
Yes, the Joburg Open. Do you fancy that one as well, eh?
Yeah, of course, set up for me nicely. It's very similar to Glendale, so hopefully I can get some rest in and be energised and get it going on the first day.
Obviously, we hope you're fit and well for the first day. Did the celebrations last night run long into the night, or were you safely in bed by 10 o'clock?
No, I was definitely not safely in bed by 10 o'clock, but they were fantastically fun. I think my dad and my mother are feeling a little bit worse than I am today, but that's what they're there for.
Well, Brandon, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show.
Problem.
Have a fantastic week in Joburg, and for the remainder of the season, we wish you well.
Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
Brandon there speaking about his win. Interesting that he talks about not changing his schedule for the first part of the year. Then he'll see how it goes. How far do you think Brandon Stone's career can go over the course of just the next 12 months?
Well, let me tell you, Rupert Kako, when he won in Madeira, played with Brandon and he tipped him as a possible future major winner. That is quite something to say at this early stage. Only 22 years of age, but very experienced already. I think he's ready for the big time pretty soon.
There's always a lot of focus on young South African players because there has been some brilliant South African players come onto the world stage. There's always extra pressure. You've got to deal with that, haven't you?
Yes, you have. But they come from a great background of tough grilling down there in South Africa. There's a lot of great players. Look at the new guard that now includes Christian Bezuidenhout as well, 21 years of age, finishing second there. It was a fantastic effort from him as well. So he's got plenty of competition out there. He's not a loner, you know, in that respect.
And what about his game? What's special about his game? Is he a good putter? Can he drive the ball well?
He's holed some crucial clutch putts in that final round. That was important in that particular context. But I like his swing. It's expansive. It's wide. It will only get more compact, which is what I said about Rory McIlroy in his early years. It was a big, wide, flashy swing. But now he's got more compact. And I think the same will happen to Brandon Stone. I like his game.
Let's hear from some of the other contenders at the Glendale Golf Club, starting with a satisfied Christian Bezuidenhout, who finished second, two shots back after a closing 67.
Last round of 5 under. Everything just was great this week. The course was great. The atmosphere was great. Playing partners was great. So, yeah, very pleased. This Open is every South African golfer's dream to win one day. I've come close this year, so hopefully one day is my chance.
Couple of bogeys on the back nine, but that's still a very good performance from a young player, another young player on the up.
And this man, Christian Bezuidenhout, you know, as an amateur, he was banned from the game for 9 months for taking beta blockers, would you believe? Hardly performance-enhancing, because they were given to him on a medical case because of the stammer you may have just caught in the way he speaks there. So that was a tough blow for him from the amateur championship a couple of years ago, but has he ever bounced back?
Third place, Daniel Brooks, was the one man who could still snatch the title once Brandon Stone had completed his final round, but it wasn't to be for Brooks, who had led earlier in the afternoon.
Yeah, after about 6 or 7 hours, I see he went a few in front, and then looked again a couple hours later and I was one in the lead and was sort of happy again, you know. Hit a couple of nice shots and then got on 10 and just didn't hit a very good shot into the green and had a free putt, which, you know, when you're hitting it that far away out there on those greens that are pretty quick, it's hard to get down into. I've not played a lot and I've finished third, so I'm over the moon with 7th, 3rd in the end.
Briefly, too clear, but it just didn't work out for Daniel.
No, he's done well in early rounds in plenty of tournaments. Of course, when he won in Madeira, it was only 36 holes, so that probably suited him. And he's yet to cross the line properly, mentally, in his own mind over 72. But I think he will. He's got the game.
We've seen it in the past as well at this particular golf course that it's not an easy finishing stretch. We've seen leaders stumble and lose titles in the past. So I think there was always a chance that the lead was going to change hands a couple of times over the course of the last 9 holes or so.
Yes, the 17th hole is a real tester. Over 220 yards. It ranked 4th in difficulty on the golf course. And the closing hole is not long by modern standards, particularly in the high veld where the ball travels a wrong way. 451 yards. But that wasn't easy either.
Four players tied 4th, including a double US Open champion and a former winner of this event, of course, Retief Goosen.
Yeah, it was a bit of a struggle all week, you know, too many double bogeys and bogeys. I started off great the 4th round with a birdie on the 1st and then thinking, OK, let's go and see if we can get to about 12, they could maybe do it. And then suddenly I went flat and made bogeys, lots of bogeys, and then sort of a nice finish to finish the event off.
Retief Goosen, we always like to see him up on leaderboards. He's not had the best time of things over the last few years, but he's still a big name and he's still got quality.
Yeah, and coming back after an operation on his back, he now has a titanium plate in his spine, would you believe? So a bit of a bionic goose there.
Also tied 4th were the South Africans Justin Walters, Brandon Grace and Keith Horn, who gave us this appreciation of tournament winner Brandon Stone.
Brandon's a fantastic player. Still calls me Uncle Keith. You know, which hurts a bit, but I called it, you know, when when he first came on tour, I used to have a lot of practice rounds with him, and he's just a super player, and he took a little bit of a while to find his feet, but he's really going to be a superstar. He's a great player, and we're expecting a lot from him in the future.
Uncle Keith had chances himself to win the event, but didn't, unfortunately. Brandon Grace was expected to go well, flattered to deceive a little bit, but those players most probably will have wins over the course of this next 12 months.
Well, you'd have to tip Brandon Grace, wouldn't you? 3rd start of the season, 3 top 10s already. He's always at the business end of the leaderboard.
We need the top 10 from the BMW SA Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni.
And here they are. Dean Burmester, who leads the chase to the Investec Cup, tied 10th with Mark Williams. Daniel Im, the American, came round in 65 on the last day. That made him some cash. Tied 8th with Trevor Fisher Jr. And then Keith Horn, Justin Walters, Brandon Grace and Goosen tied 4th. Daniel Brooks, 3rd alone on 11 under. Christian Bezuidenhout, 12 under, 2nd alone. Proud performance, that one. But the proudest man of all, Brandon Stone, 14 under, closing with a 71.
No proud men from last week's show. The tipsters, Robert Lee and Nick Doherty, went respectively for Nicholas Kolsarts, who retired with right shoulder pain early in his first round. And Nick went for Oliver Fisher, who missed the cut. So we've not got too much to beat when we get our selections for the Joburg Open and the Eurasia Cup a little bit later on, Kim.
Thank goodness.
For those of you wondering when the new Fantasy Race 2 Dubai game will start, we have some good news. The game is being improved for 2016. 2019 and will be live for My European Tour users from March. Keep checking the website for more updates over the next few weeks. Now, let's get to the Race to Dubai standings. Kim, we need the top 10.
Bjorn Hoonan, Ben An as he's known, is in 10th place, the BMW PGA champion of last year. Brandon Stone up to 9th. Gregory Bourdie, who always plays well in South Africa, is in 8th. Nathan Holman, the Australian PGA champion, 7th. Danny Willett in 5th, alongside Victor Dubuisson. Brandon Grace is 4th. Charles Swartzel, another Springbok, 3rd. Chris Wood, the tall Bristolian, 2nd. The top of the list, yet again, Henrik Stenson.
In other sad news, Christy O'Connor Jr. died last week, aged 67. He was probably best known for hitting one of the most famous shots in Ryder Cup history, a wonderful two-iron approach to the 18th green at the Belfry in 1989, which helped Tony Jacklin's team retain the cup. The Irishman appeared twice in the event in his 28 seasons on the European Tour, during which he won four events, including the Irish Open. He also had success as a senior player, including senior Open Championship wins both in 1999 and 2000. O'Connor Jr. latterly forged an extremely successful career as a golf course designer. You can read lots of tributes to him on europeantour.com. And Kim, obviously someone you came across in your career.
Yeah, he's about my vintage, really. Christy's a genial man, never short of a word or an opinion, so he always got reaction wherever he went. And he was a fine course designer. Did some really good courses down there in the Algarve on the circuit down there. So he'll be sadly missed and died too young, 67.
Indeed, that shot, though, back in 1989 at the Belfry, will be replayed for an awfully long time.
Oh, yeah. It was a great drive as well, not to be forgotten, because he put himself in position for that shot. And that three-tiered green at the 18th at the Belfry, well, it's a tough one to get close to that back pin, but he made it.
More sad news. Jimmy Hitchcock, a former British Masters champion and Ryder Cup player, died on Christmas Day, aged 85, Kim.
Yeah, he was a great player, Jimmy. I remember him when I was at Stoke Poges. He played in the Agfa Colour tournament. On the 16th hole there, he hit the tee shot on the par three into the trees, bounced onto the green, into the hole, hole in one. Well done, Jimmy. He's a sad loss.
Meanwhile, the World Cup of Golf is back on the calendar. Two-man teams from 28 countries will compete in Melbourne this November. And Jordan Spieth's 2016 started with a bang. He won the Hyundai Tournament of Champions by just the 8 shots from Patrick Reed. The world number one reached 30 under par in Hawaii, just short of Ernie Els' PGA Tour record 72 hole total of 31 under. It was Spieth's 7th PGA Tour title, taking him level with Tiger Woods for the most by the age of 23, though it should be noted Woods won 18 times in his first 77 tournaments, the number that Spieth has now played. Jordan Spieth with a brilliant start to the calendar year.
Indeed, I spoke to Jordan at the Open Championship this year. What a delightful young man he is. Honest, forthright, and not afraid to speak his mind. He's a great player, and at the moment, his putting is his greatest strength. We'll see if that lasts.
Can he have the same 2016 as he had 2015, Kim?
No doubt about it. He's got the talent and he's got the composure to do it. But if that putting stays with him, he'll be very hard to beat any week.
And speaking of Spieth, of course, he is the defending Masters champion, the first major of the season. If he's putting that well, is he putting well enough to win at Augusta again?
Well, if you need to have a good putting stroke, you need it at Augusta, don't you, of all places. Super fast greens, very, very undulating. I think he's got the game. He certainly has the putting. He's got to have a chance again.
Let's get the top 10 official golf world rankings, Kim.
Patrick Reed is 10th. Jim Furyk, the old stalwart, number 9. Dustin Johnson, the big fella, at number 8. In 7th, Justin Rose. And then a swap. Stenson was 5th, he's now 6th. And he's changed places with Ricky Fowler, who's moved up to 5th. Bubba Watson, 4th. Rory McIlroy, number 3, desperate to get back to number 1. Jason Day, number 2. And that man Spieth, top of the pile.
Let's now look ahead to two events on the European Tour this week, starting with the Eurasia Cup presented by DRB HICOM in Malaysia. Darren Clarke's Europe team faced Jeev Milka Singh's Asia in Kuala Lumpur. It's only the second time that this particular event has been on the calendar. A fantastic tournament last time it was staged a couple of years ago, Kim, because we had a tie.
We did. It was very exciting indeed. And doesn't it just signal the strength of the Asian Tour, tying with the European Tour, with the depth of field that we have compared to those guys? But I tell you what, it's going to be another great event. I think it'll be very close indeed.
Shane Lowry is part of Europe's 12-man team, and the Irishman is looking forward to the experience.
I've never played a team event as a pro, so there's a lot of young guys on the team as well. And yeah, it should be a great week. It's going to be a nice week for me to start the year. And yeah, really looking forward to, you know, to play for Europe at any level is great, but as a pro is, you know, even better.
Can it be fun playing under Darren Clark as well?
Yeah, it would be nice. I spoke to him, you know, just about a few things about it. And it's, yeah, it's great to play under an Irishman is always great. And like I said, it should be a great week. He'll definitely make it a great week, and he'll look after us really well. And like I said, there's a lot of young lads that will need some guidance. So, you know, I'm sure he's the right man to do it.
What did you think back to the first staging of the event and how tight that was, how dramatic it was? It's a good competition, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, the Asians are definitely no walkover, so we'll be going there all guns blazing to try and win every point we can. And I'm looking forward to getting there, playing a bit of foursomes and four balls and seeing what it's like, and, you know, seeing who I'm going to get paired with and seeing who I'm going to get paired against. So I love match play, and, you know, to have it at the Eurasia Cup is, you know, is really nice. Having a group of lads that you can, you know, have a bit of banter with in the evenings and stuff, and you know, watch, I suppose it'd be nice going out and watching lads and, you know, rooting for lads and hoping that they hold putts instead of hoping that they're missing them. So that'd be a bit different.
Nick Dye with the questions. Shane Lowry, who came to prominence on the world stage, of course, over 2015. He's going to be desperate to get into the Ryder Cup team, but he's also going to want to impress Darren Clark in the Eurasia Cup, isn't he?
He certainly is. Some very interesting picks, don't you think, for this European team with Ryder Cup in mind. You can't avoid it. I think people like Sullivan, Chris Wood, obviously Dubuisson's already been there, but Danny Willett, he'll fancy his chances, and a very unusual character, and it's a wild pick of mine, Christopher Broberg. I think he will blossom this year. He's an unusual character, but a great talent.
Also on the European team, Matt Fitzpatrick, Oliver Fischer and Bernd Wiesberger. And the captain's picks you alluded to, Messrs Poulter and Westwood. And for Asia, Lahiri, Jaidi, Chaurasia, Chia, Appy Barnrat, Katayama, Katie Kim and Benny Ann, who we know performed so well, of course, at Wentworth last year. The captain's picks are Nicholas Fung, Hua Shun, Prayad Mark Sang and Jong-un Wang. And although to one or two European Tour followers, there might be some unfamiliar names, there is some quality in the Asian ranks.
Yes, and remember, they're playing on home soil. The turf, the heat, it's very different, the grass conditions out there. So these guys with local knowledge will have the edge in that respect, even if they haven't got the experience on the world tours.
What are the conditions like out in Malaysia this time of year, Kim?
That'll be hot then, and that'll be wet in equal quantities. Humid, Kuala Lumpur, you know, it's a great city, but my goodness, you've got to have your cold towels ready and a good caddy.
Obviously, when we talk about team events, we always talk about the Ryder Cup. Is this good preparation? Will the players be taking it seriously? Will Darren Clark be looking at potential pairings, do you think, should those players make the team for the Ryder Cup?
I don't think so much pairings, more individual players and their performance under pressure. And of course, let's face it, it's good preparation for Darren Clark, isn't it?
There's no doubt about that. Let's get some tips then. Who do you think will win the Eurasia Cup 2016? We need your winning continent, so to speak, and also by how many points?
I think experience will just be the key, particularly with people like Westwood and that frightening man with the frightening eyes, Mr. Poulter, in the team. I think it'll be a European win by 1, maybe 2 points. That's my prediction.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go for the Asian team to come out on top. Conditions will be king here. They will be more suited just by the odd point. We're predicting a tight affair in the 2016 Eurasia Cup. Let's also look ahead to the Joburg Open, which is played on two courses, the Royal Johannesburg and Kensington Golf Club. The South African Wally Coetzee tied second in last year's event.
I can't wait. Yeah, hopefully this year we can repeat it and maybe move a notch up to first place. Starting to hitting the ball nicely and putting nicely, so I've got high hopes for next week.
And it's quite unique, isn't it, playing the two courses over the first couple of days as well?
Yeah, the East is the beast again, so we've got to concentrate on that and hopefully scoring nicely low on the West.
Mark Tompkins with the questions. Defending champion is Andy Sullivan, but he's in action for Europe in Malaysia, as we've mentioned. Mark, talking about the two courses there, it's an interesting format, isn't it, for the Joburg Open?
Yeah, it's a huge field and a massive cut, therefore, and two big golf courses. Of course, they are at elevation again, 5,000 feet above sea level, so the length won't matter quite so much. but they're both big players' courses, so I expect to see a long hitter will win this week.
Yeah, we've got the East Course that stretches out to over 7,500 yards. The West Course, which is only played once, is slightly easier. Run us through the field. You mentioned it's a big field. Have we got any big names performing in Joburg?
Well, major man Trevor Immelman looking to rekindle some form after some injuries. He's the headliner. Matteo Manassero's up in this one. David Horsey could be a runner. Forgive the pun. Marcel Ziem, never know with him. Jin Jong, not playing so well. Brandon Stone, of course, is playing this week's winner. But my pick, yet to win, could be this week, Jaco van Zyl.
Jaco van Zyl is the selection. We've seen South African players usually win this event, even though there's a healthy number of European Tour players. I'm going to go for Justin Walters this week. He played well last week and he shot some good scores at this particular venue. Well, that rounds everything up for now. Next week, we'll review both the Joburg Open and the Eurasia Cup presented by DRB HiCom, and we'll look ahead to the start of the Desert Swing in Abu Dhabi. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, from myself, Dan Roebuck, and from Kim Thomas,
cheerio.
It's goodbye. We'll see you next time.